All right. Morning, everyone. Thank you for the opportunity to just share a word with you. And this morning, this message that I wanted to share just kind of came to me a few months ago when I read these verses in my daily devotion. And it really refreshed me, it really encouraged me, and the Lord impressed upon my heart maybe to look into them in greater detail, and just to bring a message so that it would be a help to all of us. It certainly brought peace to my soul, and it's found in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 to 30. These are the words of the Lord Jesus Himself, and first and foremost. And although I think a lot of you here are very familiar are familiar with these verses, maybe if you can in your mind this morning picture the Lord speaking these words to you personally. And so Matthew 11, 28 to 30, the Lord Jesus says, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." And I trust that's an encouragement to you, even as you just reflect upon the words from the Lord here. I'd like to just kind of go through these verses section by section, starting from verse 28, and then look at other verses that hopefully will bring more clarity to this. So, verse 28, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." There's four points, if you will, in this first verse. First one is that this is a wonderful invitation, actually, from the Lord Himself. Secondly, that this invitation is for you and I to come to Him personally for help. Third, that this invitation is meant to everyone who is weary and heavy laden. And then the last is that His promise is that He will give us rest. So the first point, that this invitation is directly from the Lord Himself. You know, the Lord here is speaking to you and I, not through a delegate, not through an angel, not through a prophet, not through His disciples, not through an apostle, nor any priests. The Lord Jesus, He is the one here who is speaking to you and personally extending an invitation to you. You know, when someone important offers you help, quite often they might perhaps send a delegate or a servant or a representative on their behalf, maybe because they might be too busy to help you themselves, but not so here with the Lord Jesus. He is personally inviting you this morning to come to Him. And, you know, we sometimes take it for granted or maybe not even realize, but the Lord throughout Scripture, throughout the beginning of time when He created the world, He has been continually inviting men and women to come to Him. He's been personally extending an invitation for us to have a relationship with Him. This isn't something new. Throughout the Bible, we see that God is very interested in humans, that He made us in His image. He made us and desires to have fellowship with us, and that He loves us and He cares us. Secondly, this invitation is for you and I to come to Him. And sometimes we miss this point, perhaps, is in that He is inviting us to come to Him for help. Again, not to come to a delegate, not to come to anyone else, that would represent him, but we are invited to come to him directly, straight to him. And to me, that tells me of a God that is personal, that is approachable, that we are invited to come to him at any time, directly, wherever we are. You know, sometimes when we have a car problem and we need to have something repaired, we need to phone and make an appointment before we can bring our car in. And when they have time, they'll slot us in and they'll fix our car. But not in this case, not with our Lord Jesus. We don't need to make an appointment with him. We can at any point in time come to him directly. What a great comfort. And the invitation, thirdly, is to all who are weary and heavy laden. Weary and heavy laden. Have you experienced weariness lately? Are you tired? Are you worn out in some way? To become weary in Webster's dictionary means to become exhausted or greatly decreased in physical strength, or to be worn out of patience. Think about it. Do these definitions describe what has been happening in your life lately? I mean, I don't even need to give you any examples this morning. I'm sure you can fill in the blanks with examples of yourselves and how all of us these past few years have been impacted, how life has been difficult and hard for many people worldwide. And it has not been easy for us to just carry on our responsibilities in life and these basic activities that we sometimes just take for granted. They've all been impacted. And so this morning, if you feel weary and if you are burdened, if you are heavy laden, his invitation from the Lord is for you. It's for you. And then the promise in verse 28 is that he will give you rest. That sounds wonderful. When I read this verse, I was just comforted instantly that I could come to the Lord Jesus and that his promise is that he will give me rest. I could use rest. You could use rest. You know, and so we ask ourselves then, what is this rest that he's giving us? What does it mean? Will all my problems go away? Well, the answer lies in the next verse, in verse 29. The Lord says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. See, the key to entering into that rest is to take the Lord's yoke and to put it on ourselves. And then to learn from him, because he is gentle and humble in heart, and then you will find rest for your souls. So let's kind of look at this verse 29 then in sections. What is a yoke is the first question. What is a yoke? A yoke is an instrument built to harness two animals together. I'm sure you've seen images of a yoke before. It's built to fit around an animal, and it's built typically usually for two, so that both animals together can work alongside and share the load and pull an instrument, in this case perhaps a plow that would be attached to it, to break up the ground on a piece of land. So this idea, this picture of a yoke is familiar to the audience, to the people who the Lord was speaking to at this time. And so he says, take my yoke upon you. And so what does that mean, to take his yoke upon us? It means actually to enter into a partnership with Christ, to work together with him for his kingdom and his purposes, just like two animals together, pulling side by side along, sharing the load. They're in partnership together. And we find that idea of of a yoke and being yoked together as being in a partnership together, we find that actually in 2 Corinthians 6:14. And when we read 2 Corinthians 6:14, it talks about do not be bound together. Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. It's the same word. For what partnership have righteousness and lawlessness? And what fellowship has light with darkness? And so to not be bound means to not be unequally yoked. It's the same word. And the Bible warns us not to enter into a partnership or a relationship with unbelievers. Don't be unequally yoked. You know, the Bible, you know, has a lot of verses that talk about this in the context of marriage and business. We won't have time to get into that today. But the main reason why we're asked not to be unequally yoked is because our hearts may be drawn away from our walk with the Lord. That through unbelievers, our faithfulness to God could wane. And so that's why the Bible says not to be unequally yoked. Do not get into a partnership. And so the Lord Jesus is inviting us now into a partnership with Him based on a personal relationship with the Lord and a daily walk with Him. Notice when we take on His yoke, wherever He goes, we go. And wherever He leads, we follow. So this idea of a yoke is very comforting. We're not alone. We don't have to go through life alone. We don't have to figure out and solve all of our problems alone. We don't have to go through trials and difficulties alone. When we're yoked with the Lord, He's given us a purpose and a reason to live, to carry out His purposes here on earth. So, it says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. The idea of learning from the Lord. How do we learn? What are we supposed to learn? So one of the primary ways that you and I, we learn is we learn by observing, by watching. How does someone do this? What did they do in this situation? And we can learn from the Lord, from the Bible. We can learn from the Bible by reading about how the Lord Jesus treated people. How did He handle different situations? How did He go through difficulties in His life? And we're so grateful that we have the Scriptures where we can read and learn and observe the Lord. How did He deal with people while He was here on earth? How did He demonstrate gentleness and humility? Because that's what we're supposed to observe and watch and learn for ourselves. How did He demonstrate gentleness and humility? Matthew chapter 20, verse 5, it says, say to the daughter of Zion. Matthew 20, verse 5. Behold, your king is coming to you, gentle, and mounted on a donkey, even on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden. This verse in Matthew 20 talks about the Lord when He was coming into Jerusalem. When He was coming into Jerusalem, He was riding on a donkey. Behold, your king is coming to you. It's actually a fulfillment of prophecy. It was prophesied that their king would be coming into Jerusalem on a donkey. Can you imagine the King of Kings riding on a donkey instead of a gallant and a powerful horse? And He rode into Jerusalem alone. He didn't come with a big army around Him. He came in gentleness. He came in humility 2,000 years ago. Why? Because He came to this world to save the world. He came to this world 2,000 years ago as a Savior and not as judge. One day He will come as judge, and He will judge the sins of the world. And everyone who has not been reconciled with God, who have not made things right with God, He will come and He will judge one day. But 2,000 years ago, we are grateful, thankful that the Lord Jesus came as a Savior. He was gentle and He was kind to everyone who came to him. That was one of the things that as I was considering this passage of scripture and the gentleness and the kindness of God, I realized that the Lord never turned down anyone who came to him for help. He never rejected anyone who came to him and asking for his help and asking for his forgiveness. He healed everyone who came to him, and he forgave anyone who asked for it. And so I'm so grateful as I watched and as I thought about the gentleness and the humility of the Lord, how approachable, how gracious he is. And the gentleness and the humility of the Lord we see when he went to the cross was when he went to the cross and he allowed himself to be crucified. The King of Kings went to the cross to pay the penalty for your sins and for mine. Many people that day when he was hanging there on the cross, many people reviled him. But you'll notice he did not revile them back when he was reviled. They challenged him to come down from the cross to save himself, and not realizing that the Lord could have called legions of angels to come to rescue him. And those angels could easily have inflicted harm on those revilers that were there, but he didn't. He didn't punish them. He didn't rescue them. He showed such humility. And in fact, he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." He had a forgiving and a gracious heart. And when you consider that, it's just overwhelming to observe the humility and the gentleness of the Lord, even while hanging on the cross. And so for us, it's another example that he demonstrated for us to learn and to put into practice. Two other verses that I came across about gentleness and what we are called to be. For Christians, we are called to be gentle with other Christians. In Galatians 6:1, as I read this, it says, "Brethren, if anyone is caught in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. Each one looking to yourself, so that you too will not be tempted as well. Bear one another's burdens, and thereby fulfill the law of Christ." And so we're encouraged to be gentle with other Christians. If you see Christian stumbling and falling into sin, it says you who are spiritual, first of all, you have to examine your own heart. And none of us is perfect. And so even, you know, reading this, you realize we all fall short. And, you know, it's hard to even say and claim that you are spiritual when you come alongside. And so it takes us a lot of self-examination, a lot of reflection, being careful to look into ourselves so that we too will not be tempted, but to be compassionate because all of us have fallen, but to come alongside a brother or a sister who's struggling and to encourage them to make things right with the Lord. And so I think this is the idea here, to come alongside in a spirit of gentleness and to try and help a brother or a sister in the Lord who's struggling with sin, perhaps to realize that God loves them and desires them to repent and to walk with them. And then we are also to be gentle with people who are not Christians. And even perhaps people who are hostile to Christianity. 2 Timothy 2:25 says this, "With gentleness, correcting those who are in opposition, if perhaps God may grant them repentance, leading to the knowledge of the truth." Sometimes, you know, we're talking with other people who are not believers, they're not Christians, and you're trying to engage in a conversation with them, you're trying to share the gospel with them, and all of a sudden, the emotions come up, and you know you end up sometimes in a heated argument, even perhaps. But that's not the way that we should be dealing with people who are even in opposition with Christianity. It says that with gentleness, correcting them, if perhaps God may grant them repentance, leading to the knowledge of the truth. It's not about winning the argument. It's not. It's about presenting the truth, presenting Christ, presenting who He is, what He's done for them, and then inviting them to trust in the Lord Jesus for themselves. And so, for me, guilty again. Sometimes when I'm witnessing to somebody, just the flesh and the emotion gets the better of me. And then I'm reminded again that I have to go back and sometimes apologize to let them know I'm sorry that I reacted in that way. And to continue to show love and kindness, even to someone who may be in opposition to the gospel. The Lord Jesus says He is humble in heart, humble in heart. Well, what example would you say where the Lord Jesus demonstrated His humility? I think of the Lord's Supper. I think of that time when the Lord got up, girded Himself with a towel, and went around and washed all the disciples' feet. The very job that usually is delegated to the lowliest of a servant to do, washing someone's feet, He did Himself. He took that cloth and washed all of the disciples' feet. Yes, even the feet of Peter, who He knew was going to be denying Him three times in a short while. He even washed Judas Iscariot's feet, the one who was going to be betraying Him for 30 pieces of silver. The Lord demonstrated humility, and He said, "You don't know what I'm doing now, but I am doing this as an example for you." There's no job that a Christian should ever feel that they are too low to do. You know what I mean? And when I see that, what the Lord has done there, for me, I reflect upon that whatever He has asked us to do, there is no job that a Christian should ever say that it's too low for him or her to do. The Lord demonstrated humility that day for all of us to follow. When we serve people, the most important thing to consider is that we should be doing this as unto the Lord. When we even give a cup of cold water to a child, we are, as the Bible tells us, we are as if we are doing it as unto the Lord. And so that's the mindset, that's the consideration when we serve, when we help, when we minister to other people, when we help, we should be thinking, Lord, this is for You. We're doing this unto You. You know, as I was thinking about the Lord's invitation to learn from Him because He is gentle and humble in heart, I was thinking to myself, today in our schools, in our society, they are not allowing us to teach about Christ. They're not allowing us to preach about Christianity. How different would this world be if our children would learn about the Savior, would learn about Christ, would learn about how He wants us to be gentle and humble in heart? What about parents? If they would also read the Scriptures and learn about Christ, how He is gentle and humble in heart. What about our world leaders? If our world leaders would take this invitation and learn about Christ and how He is humble and gentle in heart, what would the world look like if Christianity was truly shared, preached, and taught correctly? And so it is a privilege for us to be able to speak the Word of God and speak the truth of God to people and to point them to the invitation of our Savior. Two other encouraging verses I found as I was looking in the Scriptures. One was actually today. Today is our daily bread. The devotion was this, 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your anxiety on Him because He cares for you. He cares for you. God cares about you. And He's offering to take your anxiety. He's offering for you to cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. You don't have to carry this load yourself. If you are anxious, if there are things that are worrying to you, Lord says, cast it upon him. Then the second verse that I found was yesterday when I was reading my daily Bible. I came across this verse, Psalm 68, verse 19. Psalm 68, verse 19. Listen to this. It says, blessed be the Lord who daily bears our burdens. Wow. Blessed be the Lord who daily bears our burden. The God who is our salvation. Sometimes we don't even realize that God is bearing our burdens daily. That he is there carrying the load, helping us get through whatever difficulty we find ourselves in. He's there shouldering the burden and helping us along. Doesn't necessarily remove them, but he's there helping us as we go through life together. As we take his yoke upon us, he's there right beside us. And it's an invitation. He's not forcing himself on us, but it's an invitation for us to simply take his yoke upon us and then to experience that peace, that joy in our souls. For my yoke is easy, going to the last verse. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. His yoke is easy. It's built for you. It's custom made to fit you. He's pulling it together with you, using his power and his strength. I came across some really great verses as well too in Isaiah chapter 40. He never gets tired and he never sleeps. So in Isaiah 40 verses 28 to 31, it says this, do you not know? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, does not become weary or tired. His understanding is inscrutable. He gives strength to the weary, and to him who lacks might, he increases power. Though youths grow weary and tired, and vigorous young men stumble badly, yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary. Aren't these amazing verses from Isaiah? Do you not know? Have you not heard? The God, the everlasting God, the one who created the world and everything in it, not just the world, but all of the universe. Well, he does not become weary. He is not tired. Not like you and I. You and I, we get tired, we get weary, and we need to rest. But he doesn't. He's always there, helping. His understanding is inscrutable. In other words, he's infinite, without limits, is perfect. His understanding is all-encompassing. We don't have to understand everything, and we don't. You know, we ask a lot of questions why. We try to understand what is happening and, you know, with our lives in the world, and it's hard. We just don't have that ability, that mind to do that. But his understanding, the Lord's understanding, is inscrutable. And so he asks us to trust him. He asks us to follow him. And we can do that. We can just leave it with the Lord and his understanding by faith. His understanding is perfect, and that's all we need. And in verse 29, he gives strength to the weary. When you're tired, when you're weary, he's the one that can give you the strength. If you lack might, says that he increases power. You just don't have the strength to go on. He's the one that can increase your strength. And though vigorous young men stumble badly, and we all do in our lives, we have stumbled badly. It says that he can give us new strength. Those who wait on the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary. those who wait on the Lord. Wings like eagles. Eagles, when you see them in the sky, they're gliding, they're flying effortlessly sometimes. And for us, when we walk in our Christian walk, sometimes, you know, we are in this mountaintop experience and we're gliding effortlessly and we're just really enjoying our time with the Lord and things are going well. We're soaring. But then sometimes we're running as well too in our walk. We're running from place to place. We're running from doing one thing and running to the next. We're pressed for time. And so we're running to get things done. And running can make us tired. But most of the time, we're walking, it says. Walking. They walk. Walking kind of reminds me of just the day-to-day activities that we do every day. You know, just the routine things that we have to do. And I find that walking is the most wearying. Just attending to our day-to-day lives can be the most wearying thing. Yet those who wait on the Lord will gain new strength. Now, I'm learning that myself. I'm just reflecting on that and appreciating that myself more. Sometimes I just need to slow down and I just need to wait on the Lord. Not get ahead of Him. Not try to take His yoke off and put my yoke on and just do things in my own, but learning to wait on the Lord for Him to give me new strength. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. Jesus' burden is light. Are you heavy laden? Are you burdened today? Is there a backpack on your shoulders that you are carrying that's full of large stones? And what are some of the burdens that you might be carrying today? John Bunyan wrote The Pilgrim's Progress in 1678 as a Christian allegory. And this well-known story has been translated to more than 200 languages. I've read that, and I'm sure many of you here have read that. And enjoyed that book, that story about an everyday character by the name of Christian who is on a journey from his hometown called the City of Destruction, picture of the world that we live in today. And he's trying to find the celestial city atop Mount Zion, a picture of heaven. But Christian, he's weighed down by a great burden. This burden is the knowledge of his sin, which he learned about from reading the book in his hand, the Bible. And on his journey, he encounters different characters by the name of Obstinate and Pliable and Mr. Worldly Wisdom. And he falls into many difficult situations until finally he reaches the place of deliverance, which is a picture of the cross of Christ, where it says that the straps that bound Christian's burden break free, and the burden rolls away into the open sepulcher, which is a picture of the empty tomb. And so this story has so much meaning to it. My friend, are you burdened by sin today? Have you gotten yourself into something that you can't seem to get out of? Are you doing something that you know is wrong and it's weighing down deep in your soul and causing you a burden? This invitation from the Lord Jesus is for all to come to Him. To come to Him, to the cross. To come to Him and trust in Him as your Savior. Died on the cross that day to pay the penalty for your sins and mine. That burden that we have even today, perhaps. He has paid the penalty for that burden, for that sin. And He has risen from the dead because the tomb is empty. And He promises to save everyone who comes to Him, who repents of their sins, who trusts in Him as their Savior. The tomb is empty, and He is alive today. He invites you and me to come to Him. And He will forgive you. And He will remove the burden that you've been carrying. Galatians 5 and 1. This thought here is that we are free in Christ. We talked about that this morning at the breaking of bread. Galatians 5:1 says, it was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery. Christ has freed us from the burden of sin. But sometimes we can subject ourselves again to a yoke of slavery. And we ought not to do that. We ought not to go back into a life of sinfulness. We ought not to go back into those bad habits again. Christ has set us free. And as we were reminded this morning by our brother Steve, we are now slaves of Christ. He is our new master. He is our new Lord. And what a gentle and humble and kind master He is. It says in Galatians 5:13 and 14, for you were called to freedom, brethren, only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. The whole law is fulfilled in one word. In this statement, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. So Christ came to set us free, but Galatians tells us to not use our freedom for an opportunity for the flesh. We're not here to satisfy ourselves and to fulfill our selfish desires. We are here to use the freedom that we have to serve Christ by serving others, to love the Lord by keeping His commandments, to love the Lord by loving other people. And so if this is the privilege, this is what we've been asked to do, this is what God has put us here for, the fact that He hasn't returned yet is that we have a purpose. And we are here to love Him, to obey His commandments, and to serve one another. Hebrews 12, chapter 12, verse 1 says this, therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. And this verse was written to Christians to warn us, to remind us not to be entangled with the things of this world. These encumbrances are like weights that you carry that are unnecessary for you when you are running a race. Glenn Allen, he wears weights when he's free diving, but that's because he needs to be able to stay underwater, otherwise he'll be floating all the time. So in that situation, he's wearing a weight just so that he could stay down underwater. But as soon as he gets out of the water, he takes those weights off. It makes no sense for us to go through life with these weights strapped to our waist. It just hinders the work of God. And so we are asked to lay aside every encumbrance and the sin that so easily entangles us. We live in the world, yes, but we're not of the world. The Bible says that we need to so carefully consider all the things that we get ourselves into. There's just media and advertising that's everywhere that just kind of draws you away from God. I mean, even riding a bus to work, you can see all these bus signs and ads that are trappings. They draw you away from the Lord. And so as Christians, there's so much caution, so much consideration that we should be making. Think about whether these things would maybe even seemingly look harmless, would draw us closer to the Lord or would draw us away from the Lord. And so this is the consideration here in Hebrews 12:1. His yoke is easy and His burden is light. His burden is light. 1 John 5:3 said, this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. His commandments are not burdensome. It's not a burden to keep the Lord's commandments. He's not asking us to do anything unreasonable or impossible. And He's always there to help us. He will never leave us nor forsake us. We have the Holy Spirit that dwells within us always to help guide us. And the Bible says that He's blessed us with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. He's given us everything we need to live a life that pleases Him. We have the Bible. We have access to prayer, in prayer to God. And so we're so thankful for what He has provided for us to help us. The hymn that we sang before we came up was written by John Moore. And we'll close with this story of how he wrote this hymn. It's called Burdens Are Lifted at Calvary. John Moore was born in Scotland in 1925. And he lived, actually, until recently, 2017. He wrote over 150 hymns during his lifetime. And he shares that he was raised by godly parents and accepted Christ when he was 16 years old at the local Baptist church. And after he was saved, he worked in Sunday school, open-air meetings, and tract distribution. He decided to become a Baptist minister, actually, and went to Bible college in Glasgow, Scotland. And after he graduated, he became an assistant superintendent at the Seamen's Chapel of Glasgow. So the story behind the hymn began in 1952 when he was 27 years old. And while serving at the Seamen's Chapel, he received a call from a shipping company requesting that he visit a young merchant seaman who was lying in Glasgow in a hospital, critically ill. And in his own words, John described the event. He said, quote, "After getting permission from the nursing sister, I went in to visit the young sailor. I talked for a few moments and then put my hand in my case for a tract, not knowing which one I would pull out. And it happened to be a tract based on Pilgrim Progress, with a color reproduction of Pilgrim coming to the cross with a great burden on his back. I showed the young seaman this picture and told him the story in brief, adding that Pilgrim's experience had been my experience too. I explained that when I came to the cross of Christ, my burden rolled away and my sense of sin and guilt before God was removed. Do you feel this burden on your back today?" The sailor nodded, and then we prayed together. And never shall I forget the smile of peace and assurance that lit up his face when he said that his burden was lifted as well. That night, John Moore, he sat down by the fireside with paper and pen in hand. He started to write the words, and then he wrote and finished the melody all in one night. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. So whatever your burdens are today, if you find yourself weary and tired, this invitation is still valid today. It's an open invitation, and it has not expired yet. Anyone and everyone today is invited to come to the Lord Jesus and to trust in Him because He cares for you, He loves you, and He would love to have you come to Him to find your rest for your soul. So let's just close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for these precious words from the Lord Jesus Himself. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. But more than ever, we need to enter into that rest, to wait on you, trust in you, and to walk with you, to take your yoke upon us, and to learn from you, Lord, for you are so humble and gentle. And Lord, we just desire to be more like Christ each and every day in our words and our thoughts and our actions. We pray that you would indeed help us in our walk with you. Help all of those who desire to know more of you, to learn and to grow and to serve you and be pleasing to you. Thank you again for this opportunity to just share and to present your wonderful invitation. We ask those who are listening here tonight, we'll just trust in you and accept that invitation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
God bless you. Thank you.